if they can, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, the league is, so they've told me, is they're putting together templates for municipalities so that will be standardized and it'll be simpler. And if I can add to that piece of legislation, is interestingly enough, our municipality, and I advocated for this with our legislators, we're already doing the majority of the things that's within. The idea of the 10%, you know, that's just a suggestion. It's a framework. It's we're not being told we have to reduce the budget by 10%.
And I asked that question to Andrew. And again, I had three calls with him yesterday. I said, I'm glad you're not charging us by the hour. But the conversation I had, I said, Andrew, I said, I see nothing in here that says, here's the penalties if you're at 10% or anything else. He said the only penalty that you possibly would see is if, and I didn't write down the name of the department, it's going to be viewing all this stuff, if they do, but he said they would show up on your doorstep, TV camera, and they'd come in and possibly, and he said, Skip, this is so new, they haven't had time to digest it and go through it and put together all the points that it's going to affect us. But he said it could affect some grants, possibly. And he said, careful with that word. He said, we don't know. So in my brain, I take all these things and put together. If there's a way that we can take care of our employees, okay, Michael, I'll give you 3 years instead of four. I started at five on Monday. So 3 years. I'd be comfortable with that because, again, it allows us to continue doing the other projects that we have. And this problem wasn't created in 1 year or 2 years. It's been over a 10-year time period. So,
with your numbers, did you do anything over a period of time that would show how it impacts a particular position?
I did it on the year, Mayor. I did not break it down by individuals. But I mean, you know, if we go to a 3-year program, it's 60K. Now, again, that does not include benefits. So I got to keep making that statement because that could probably kick it up to 80 or 90 or maybe 100. But over a 3-year period, just based on no benefits, it's 60K. 4 years is 40K. My 5-year plan, 35K. So,
but the impact on the employee is my concern is that if it were to be implemented immediately, that is a base salary that, you know, the CPI,
understood.
All that, you know.
I understand. But again, are we going to cut out this CapEx stuff that's blowing through right now through the Central Services Board meeting? I mean, they did make a few questions, but everything went right on through. And again, we haven't approved it, hadn't gotten there yet. We haven't built the program yet. But if we vote on this today and say, this is what we're going to do, we're going to implement it immediately, you're already a $500,000 in employee cost ahead of schedule. And that's the only reason I say if we can break it down to 3 years.
Now, do we have any further discussion on this part of 8A? And the different parts. Are you comfortable at this point? Because I'll open it to the public unless...
Excuse me, Mayor. Yeah, I thought it might be two things real quick. First of all, our consultant unfortunately has to leave us at about 3:30. She's got a flight to catch out of Orlando, and we know how long that takes getting through the airport. But the other thing, I was hoping, Rachel, you could let us know or explain more about how the different implementation options, you know, doing it this year, this fiscal year under current budget versus delaying that till October?
Yeah, sure. So I think the biggest thing, and some of you have touched on this, is it's going to impact each employee differently, right? Because of where they're falling within the range. So my initial recommendation would be implement all at once. That's minimum where employees should be. It gets everyone exactly where they should be at once. That would be done April 1st. You get half of those costs because it's going to the hourly base, right? So they don't just get that lump sum. It's given to them as part of their hourly increase, and it puts them where they should be. I think it's important. Again, I work with clients all over the United States, but, you know, there's an employee culture and morale issue within that, too. So it's important to keep that in mind. And then when you and then October 1st, then you would continue to see that increase. I think you also brought up, you know, you would have your additional annual adjustments, but everyone's where they should be within the range. In addition, employees leave and things change, right? So those costs are where they are right now, but that could always vary if there's new employees or people leave and you need to make new hires. If you delay until October 1st, you could do the minimum adjustments April 1st, October 1st, everyone would get that additional increase. That would be my second option or recommendation.
Now, I want to make sure I'm sensitive to your time of leaving at 3:30. Do you have a suggestion, Mike? Because we had broken things down. I need to open things to the public. We do have to talk about stipends and also COLA. So does anyone have a suggestion? Because Rachel needs to leave by 3:30. What would you like to do, Philly? You, Bill, because you broke it down.
The reason why I broke it down is because my concern of the supplement stipend and option two within the evaluations, because as I read this and I tried to find everything I could possibly find, there wasn't details explaining what the plan is, how's the training's going to happen. You can make an evaluation of me, a performance evaluation, and Kim can make a performance evaluation on me, and I get two completely different results. That's not explained in here. Nowhere is that saying how the actual development is going to happen for it to happen. And I told you the story would happen to me in 92. I mean, the guy that did nothing got an Excels and the things that I accomplished that year, and I got meets expectation because the evaluator was an individual that went to church with the other guy and didn't go to church with me. So, and I told you about the guy that started Nova University, what he did. So those are the concerns that I have on those two items, because until they're explained, and they don't go into effect until 26, 27. So we actually have time for those details to be placed together. And that's why I'm so concerned about them, because what we've got right now doesn't give us the details. I've been asked questions about stipends and supplements. Public education lives and dies based on supplements, because there's no way you can put some of the things that they're doing in job descriptions. And I told you the example of my daughter. My daughter got her bachelor's degree in speech therapy. She got her master's degree in autism and special education. And the community came in and says, business leaders came in and says, we want to start a business league program for the students in your school. Nowhere, you can't find that job description anywhere in education. She took the supplement. This past month, she was gone. We were up there. This past month, she was gone two weekends in a row because they had the regional competition and the state competitions. I think she gets $2,000 for that. She was gone for 6 days out of the month. How can you put that in a job description? And my concern is, when you're doing those kind of things and you want to put it in a job description, how's it going to fit? So when we get to the stipends, that's where my questions will be coming, not to you, Rachel, but to the actual people that are in charge of those departments, explaining how they're going to be able to find someone with that particular job description. Because I'm going to ask, what are the stipends? How much are the stipends? What do they do for the stipends? What hours do they do those stipends? Those are all the things that aren't explained in here. And that was my concern on that. The other one was the training of the people that are going to do the evaluations. You know, I was an oddball as a high school principal. Every teacher I hired the first year, I was the only evaluator they had for the entire year. And I always worked on one philosophy. Would I want my daughter or son having that person as my teacher? And I had 90 days to get rid of them with no answer. So those are the things I'm concerned about, those two items. The salary thing, the way you presented it, I love it, and I am 100% behind it completely, all three sections. But I felt it had to be separated out because that's the 25-26 budget, and we've got to do something about that right now where we have a few months on the other two items.
So I think if, again, in fairness to your time, I know we're going a little out of order, if it's okay with everybody, do you have any questions on the merit issue or the stipend?
No.
No. Question? No. No questions? Because then I can open it up. Just you. That's okay. So I will open it up to the public. We still have some time. What I would ask, is there any member of the public that would like to come up and ask a question with respect to the compensation study itself? That's really where we are right now. None. Okay. So that says to me that perhaps we would like to entertain a motion with respect to the compensation study itself. And I do believe, is that appropriate? Because Mike?
Yeah, if you could let us know when you want this implemented, whether it's April 1st, which we can do now within the existing budget, or next year, and then, you know, spread out. I mean, there's different options for that.
There's different options, and we've talked about a few of them. We've heard from the different council members. I'm going to open it up for a motion.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion, but before I do, can I ask one question?
Of course.
So you know where I'm going with my motion.
Yes.
Spread out over 3 years. So when I say spread out over 3 years, if it would make this more palatable for everyone on council and acceptable for everyone on council, I would structure my motion to start April of this year, and then over a three-year time period, it would end April of, I guess it would be 2029 or 30, whatever the date is. Again, it would start immediately, so that would kind of be a halfway for us, because I was thinking not start it until budget year of next year. But if we do that, then we would start it April and then end it after a three-year time period.
Well, I can share with you that probably would not be palatable for me, because I would like to see everything implemented April 1st.
Okay. So let me ask this question, and I'll ask Michael this question before I make a motion. Michael, if we implement this thing right now, what are you going to cut out of the budget in 26 to cover this? Because I know we say we have the money now, and I'm assuming that was from the three positions that are currently open that we haven't filled. That's probably part of the money, I would guess. Is that a good guess?
That's part of it, yeah.
Okay. So, and I hadn't asked where the rest of the money came from, but doesn't matter. It's your money. So how do you plan on funding our increase that we're going to have going forward into 26-27 budget of $500,000?
Well, we're just at the very beginning of creating this budget. I mean, that's something that we're going to have to work through.
And I understand, Michael, but again, that is my big fear. So, Mayor, I'll be honest. I would vote no on starting it and doing it all at one time and being over with, because it ties our hands. I think there's going to be more important things that come up, but, you know, I'm just one vote.
I see a resident who wishes to speak. It's out of turn, but does anyone object to it? Okay. Oh, dear.
I don't address you very often.
Okay. Skip, I drew the same conclusion you did. Okay, I'm sorry.
Your name?
Howard Perisky, 4757 South Atlantic Avenue. Skip, I drew the same conclusion you did. I got sticker shock with the ESP wish list. It was 800 and change.
850.
Yeah. But if you drill down, Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, hundreds of thousands of that are not general fund items, don't affect the millage rate. They're paid for by funds. Mike, am I right about that?
You're correct.
That's
I'm with you. Howard, I'm with you on that one, too. I looked at it, but it's still money.
Okay. If 800 is your concern, if you just back out the items that are not millage rate items, it more than pays for everything on there.
But if you look at our current salary only.
Yes, but you expressed a concern over $800,000.
Huge number. My concern, Howard, is over the $500,000 that does not include benefits.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Peritsky.
You're welcome.
I'm good. So.
Yes, please. Of course not. Thank you for coming.
Rick Fees, 46 Ashley. This is one of the conversations I've really understood. Spent 40 years in human resources, so I was tracking with it. I just want to make a couple of points, because there's all valid points. Fixed costs are real. Benefits costs are real. There's no denying that. Compression is real. You have to have the guardrails. Bill, I'm sorry, you can't just do a one-time and let it ride for 5 or 10 years. This has got to have the monitoring and responsibility of the management and oversight, because it will come back. Mm-hmm. It always comes back, and you're in there. The key is, Skip, while there isn't a plan that's out there, I don't know who's going to come up with a plan for the 3 years. And while we're dealing with money that's out that's being set out, we're not dealing with money to repair roads that don't have feelings, that don't have emotions. I don't know the exact number. I just did a quick Google search and said how many employees, said 50 to 200 that are in here. So you've got people who are going to be given some kind of advantage, and they're going to have to coexist with other people that are there. And that, to me, is the part that they've got to manage. And over a 3-year period, I can't see it happen. And I've been down this path and had this discussion before. Mm-hmm. So that's the part. You don't have the plan, he doesn't have the plan, and I haven't seen a plan for a 3-year execution of dealing with that.
And Rick, let me respond to that just quickly. We have one employee is going to receive $21,000. We have another employee is going to receive $19,000. We have some employees are going to receive $1,000.
Again, are those all compression or?
Compression. Yeah. So, you know, we talk about perception. That is going to be extremely difficult.
You're
going
to have to manage
difficult.
It either way.
And that's,
I'm just saying, do you bite the bullet and manage it one time, or do you try to manage it over 3 years?
Well, and again, we're going to spend the money regardless. I'm just making a statement. We're going to spend the money for this, or we're going to buy trucks. And I was very disappointed in the Surgical Services Board meeting that some of our staff didn't get up and say, you know what, we might get one more year out of that vehicle. If we did that, one vehicle, it would pay for not quite half of this, but it would, pretty close. So, and again, I understand, but this continues to go on forever. But if we can manage our budget, and we've all said that what we want to try to do is get back to being under 6 mils based on our history, we can't keep adding $1.5 million before we get out of the blocks.
I started with fixed cost to real.
Right.
I'm not here to debate. I just want to make a point. You guys need to make the decision.
Totally understand.
Thank you so much. Okay, so do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we accept the aligned payment based on years of service wage compression adjustment, have it start April, and spread it out over a 3-year period.
We have a motion. Is there a second? Hearing none, the motion dies. Do we have another motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the MGT compensation plan implementation as presented with the 3-part placement approach effective April 1, 2026, and approval of option 2
no.
for future plan administration.
Joe, we haven't gotten up to the approval of option 2 yet.
Right.
This motion is just whether we will accept
compensation.
To stop it at April 1, 2026.
Is that clear for the record, everybody? Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Yes, second.
Okay, roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
No.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-1.
Thank you, everyone. I appreciate the discussion. I think everyone does. We are now going to discuss the stipends. Now, does anyone have any specific questions of Rachel still here? You do. Good. Go ahead.
Yeah. First, everybody here has heard me about supplements and stipends before, but
are you using the terms interchangeably?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, public education calls it a supplement. Business calls it a stipend.
Okay. Thank you.
And so they're really both things because we're the public. All right. But here's my concern. We talked about putting it into the job description. So first question: how many stipends or supplements are we currently giving to employees? What is the number where they're actually giving?
She would ask me that. I didn't have that in front of me. There's really just a few employees that are getting this.
And the second follow-up is, what is the cost of those supplements for each one of the positions that we have?
Well, I did not bring that in front of me either. I apologize.
This is my concern. Is until we determine the actual dollar amount and the actual job description, can I put in to a Public's Work, Steve, this one's for you. Can I put a Public's Work, I'll give you a prime example. Over the weekend, there is someone on call in Public's Works for some type of, there's a water damage problem, a broken pipe or something. Someone is on call to do that. They have a different person every single week, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but they have a different person every week. That person has to be certified. Do we have to put that in every single person's job description that works in Public Works, that works that stipend? And how is that stipend going to be paid in the department? Because it's got to be part of the hourly salary now. And none of that is explained in here. And for me to really back it going in there, you have to see it. And we have the months to do that before it actually put in. But I want to see the stipend, and I want to see the person that has that job, how it fits into their job description. It's a serious matter, because what happens if that person that fit into that job description leaves and no one applies, has that ability to do that stipend?
Well, and Bill, I agree with you, is that I'm uncomfortable with removing stipends, without having more information. Maybe it's something we can discuss further, but we are going to compensate someone, whether it's classified as a stipend or it's incorporated in a job description. It just seems to me that it provides you, the manager, Mike, much more flexibility if we do it as a stipend, because we're a small community. And, you know, there are little tasks. I don't mean little tasks. I mean there are tasks that just amount to a limited number of hours somebody is capable of doing it. And if that person leaves, I don't want that part of a job description that would then mean that someone may not want to apply for it. Maybe we could float that stipend to someone else within our staff. I think that we just need to give ourselves more. And the other question that I do have is that my understanding was that I view this as an operational decision. I could be wrong, but I thought it was one that should rest with the manager on a case-by-case basis rather than being governed by a single uniform policy set by the council. So maybe we need to bring this back.
That is exactly where I was going next, Lois.
Oh, it was? I'm so sorry. I jumped in on you.
No. That's exactly where I was going, because let Mike sit down with human resources to make that decision and how he wants to handle it. And I can understand them. I mean, everybody, we existed in public education on supplements. I was telling Skip one day about the ones that we used to possibly do to save us money. Because if I had a teacher that worked an additional hour, I didn't have to pay him benefits, because it was already paid in their salary, and I just paid him their hourly wage to teach a sixth class. It was the same thing with the supplement. I didn't have to pay them benefits on a supplement or a stipend, because it wasn't built into their salary. Once this goes and gets built into it, it becomes part of their salary, which means we do have to pay them benefits. And if I had that, my job, I had to add 23% of a salary for benefits. This, if we keep the stipend, it's not there. So we're actually saving money by keeping the stipends or supplements, then putting it into the job description.
Does anyone have a strong feeling one way or the other on this? Because if we leave it in the manager's hands, where I think it was supposed to be in the first place, as an operational issue, is that it doesn't necessarily come before us. Joe.
One of the questions that I have overall with this discussion is, Do we have clearly delineated job descriptions throughout the town?
Yes.
We do?
Yes.
So have we ever looked at how our job descriptions measure up to, for example, New Smyrna Beach, South Daytona, Port Orange, and the Shores? Job descriptions.
We haven't done that kind of that level of analysis, but I mean they're roughly the same. I mean, we know that. You know, if I could just interrupt and just kind of back up a little bit here with the stipends. First of all, Mr. Milano, your question about public works, that's handled through overtime. What we have stipends for, but you're also right in terms of the impact, paying it, and then how benefits kick in. If you put in a salary, then yeah, benefits are based off of that. You know, what stipends are for us, a stipend is the additional compensation you pay someone for doing a job outside of their traditional job description. For example, you know, our fire marshal, you know, that is one, it's not done currently within the fire department. It's more of an inspector type job. And so there was a transition, this was years ago actually, a transition where we had a vacancy in that position. Instead of having someone, one of the firefighters pick that up, which is how it was done before, our own co-compliance manager, Dave Hooker, he volunteered to take that job. It required him getting a lot of extra certifications, which he still maintains. But the fact is, that's not the traditional role of a code compliance person. It's this is an extra duty that he volunteered to take on. From my perspective, you know, what's important is that the work gets done and that the people that are doing the work get compensated for that extra work. A stipend from in a small town is done by it's not enough hours in a week to justify its own position. But it nonetheless needs to be done. Some of these are required by state law. Some of these we choose to do. But regardless, they're deemed to, you know, they feel like they're important. You know, there's something that the community expects us to do or we're required to do. But and in that case, it is cheaper to pay someone to do a little bit extra rather than trying to find a separate person to do it, and then you have to get into full salary and benefits and all that stuff. It's far, far cheaper to do it through this process. The reason this was in your report today is really just for informational purposes. We are proposing to move these into salaries only because it seems like this has become such a controversial issue. I'm not even really sure why, but it has gotten to the point where we just need to deal with it one way or the other. And, you know, it doesn't matter to me whether it's in the form of a stipend, whether it's in the form of a salary, as long as the work gets done and the people are compensated for doing that work. It's really that simple from my perspective. What is we don't want to have happen, and the problem, again, it seems to be, I don't want to use the word that I come to think, it's confusing. People don't understand it, you know, unless they've worked necessarily in our position. We find ourselves having to explain it over and over again, and that has become time-consuming. We just want to address it and be done with it. I mean, that's really kind of why this was presented to you, is just an informational, this is our plan to handle this, so we don't have to keep dealing with it over and over again. But if you want to present, if you want to permit me to provide more additional information, I can do that. Another thing, the reason why stipends work for us is that they are portable. So they have their own job description. They, again, like we have our code compliance manager also serves as our fire marshal. That's not a natural fit. If he decides to leave, then we're going to have to look for someone else to do that job. That may fall in that department, may not. You know, they all, it's really just a matter of who is willing to step up and has an interest in the talent and in some cases certifications to do the job. So that's why we have them. It's a very simple process for us. I understand it's not simple for other people, which is why it keeps coming up. But, you know, either way, we want to put this to rest and just kind of be done with it.
Does someone have a how they'd like to move forward? Because I believe that the Town of Ponce Inlet works well with stipends and that it should be in Mike's, you know, Mike's responsibility as our manager. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what I think. I don't know how the rest of you feel.
And Mayor, I agree with you. I do have one question, but I do agree with you. And Mike, this is just for my clarification. And Bill, like you're discussing, we get a lot of conversation from the residents about stipends, and I'm as sick and tired of as you are, or more. But my question is, so am I understanding correctly that we have taken, and I handed Bill a sheet that had, if, for record, I handed Bill a sheet that had the stipends on it. I wasn't passing a note, so I was handing him the stipends. My understanding, is this correct, that we have, we're doing away with stipends all across the board or just in certain situations? And the second part of my question is, did we have any issues until they got corrected with exempt and non-exempt employees?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that last part?
I know some titles have changed, and I noticed in here that some of the stipends have been added to the salaries, but before that happened, are we under any obligation that we weren't following exempt and non-exempt correctly? I know we've talked about it, but I want that out there for a reason.
Yeah, I'll defer to Kim on that, but I don't think that's been an issue, no.
Okay. Kim? Yes, no? Okay. That, and I want that out there for a reason, Mayor, and not my reason, okay? So we to be clear, our exempt and non-exempt employees, we have treated them correctly based on paying overtime or not paying overtime.
That is correct.
Okay.
So, yeah, when there have been a few cases where you roll those into their job description, then that kicks them up to where they need to. They may be exempt where they weren't before, but, yeah, that's all being done correctly. I mean, that's the Fair Labor Standards Act. We have to follow that.
I just want to make sure. So then back to my first question. We will still have some stipends, but some have been added into salary. Is that correct?
Yeah, the ones on your sheet of paper there, that's the one I was actually I'd meant to bring in today. Those are the ones that are being rolled into their job descriptions.
Correct. That's the reason I carry my satchel.
They're rolled in, but doesn't that beg the question of what happens when the person leaves? Because now it's part of their job description.
Yeah, and that when that happens, we have to look for someone to do the job.
See, that's my
good
concern.
Good point, Mayor. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Right. The concern is that we are tying the hands of the manager. And the other thing is that we know by looking at this that if one of these employees leaves, I don't think I want it part of a particular job description, something that someone's doing for a stipend, because you lose the ability, I think, to really float this around to the other employees who are already here then.
Well, no, we would have to do that.
So I would like to have our manager have as much flexibility as he needs, whether it's a stipend or if it makes sense to roll a particular stipend. And yes,
and
Bill.
That's why I brought this up.
Yes.
And wanted it separated out, because I feel it should be.
Yes.
That it should be Mike's decision.
Yes, Mike's decision.
We're just going to have to take the heat for the people that feel we should get rid of it and put it in the thing, because that takes away his ability to do his job.
Is everyone comfortable with that?
Yes, and I promise, Mayor, I'll shut up after this. But my point is, and I agree 1,000% with you, where I get a little bit wiggly is when we have a function that we're looking for someone to perform, and it technically does not fit in their current position. They have the knowledge, they have the ability and the time, and they're volunteering to do it, but it technically doesn't fit in their current job description. And that's just probably maybe a personal thing, but it some things, in my opinion, should be within a department. But again, like you say, if someone doesn't raise their hand in that particular department, somebody else does. So I'm kind of talking circles, but I wanted to put that out there. It's up to Michael. There's no question. We approve the money. That's it.
That's it. The person needs to be compensated, and I think that we need to give our manager the appropriate, the flexibility to do what we need. So let me open that. We are discussing it because I am going to ask for a consensus of the council. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to comment on this, on stipends? All right, seeing none, do we have a consensus at least, probably unanimous?
Yes.
Consensus
yes.
That Mike has full authority to deal with the...
And we don't accept what was written.
Correct. Okay. We are not... Do you want a motion? We're not accepting. What? Give a motion, Bill. Come on, it's your
Thanks.
Motion.
I make a motion that we leave the responsibility of stipends to the town manager and that the suggestion that was submitted within the plan is unacceptable.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, unanimously approved. Thank you. Now, the last item that we have here with respect to our agenda item 8A is the procedure 8A5, yes. We are going to be looking at, merit raises is really what it boils down to. So who would like to start that conversation, Bill?
That was me again. You
go,
want to go?
Go ahead. I'll be behind you.
Okay. Here's my dilemma, and it is a dilemma with this, the selection of option two. And until I see the actual training, whether it be through human resources or whatever the case may be, there is no way that we can do a performance review because it is too subjective. There's no way out of it. It is a I used the example with Rachel of what happened to me, and that is what happens in many, many public sectors. I don't think that something like that would happen in a business sector, but it does happen in a public sector. And it's not saying it would happen here because we don't have those type of employees, but when you've got the largest employment in the entire county as your base, things like that happen. I want to see the actual training schedule for the performance reviews to make sure everyone is consistently doing the same thing. That's all I ask. And then I'll go anyway. Do I believe in performance reviews? The state of Florida tried it back in the late 80s. And it was a disaster to the point. Remember, I've always talked about the NEAT procedure. You call it something else here. But the NEAT procedure came out of the University of South Florida putting together a merit package. And it was presented, and it was such a disaster, they actually selected 100 educators throughout the entire state to be trained in their procedure, and then they would go out and show the school districts how to do the procedure. And they only picked 100 in the entire state, and two of them came from my high school. So we were kind of like in that base. And out of that, because people that were doing extra things were getting hammered, people that were doing their 7.5-hour job and their 5 hours of class, but they put a good presentation on the classroom, were getting a high performance review. So they actually developed and trained these 100 educators to the knee procedure. And I can't tell you the number of lawsuits that were lost because people didn't understand what the T stood for. It was notify, evaluate, give assistance, and the T was not terminate, it was time. In court, principals actually, under oath, said the T stood for terminate, which basically told us that that person wasn't trained in how to do performance reviews. And that's my concern. I want to see the package of how it's going to be done before we say we're going to start doing merit pay.
If I could say something real quick, though. I just want to make it very clear to everyone that we do performance evaluations. It's not that we don't do them. I think there's a misconception there. But what we don't do is tie them to annual wage adjustments. So if you look at a carrot and a stick approach, it's more the stick. You know, we use it to get rid of our bad employees, not reward the
right.
good ones.
But this does that.
The new proposal.
This does, option two does that, and that's my point. So the evaluation procedure, yes, we do a performance evaluation. But in each department, they're doing their evaluation. It's just like when we would do the evaluation in public concerning the town manager. We would have scores all the way from a 3-4 all the way to a 5. I mean, and that was the different persons that weren't trained in actually doing the evaluations. They were putting their opinion into it.
Bill, we talked about that. I had agreed with you my concern with merit evaluations because you don't know who's doing, you know, the evaluations. Now, in this instance, I don't want to put you on the spot, Kim, at all. I know it's department heads that do the evaluations. Is that correct? Oh, yeah, you might. Thank you. Yes.
Thank
yeah.
you.
I apologize.
You yell
no,
at me all the
time. No, our department heads review. The supervisors of the employees are the ones that do it, and they do take time to input.
And then the department heads evaluate the supervisors.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there is a standard all the way up to everybody evaluating everybody within the system. So, yes, we do have that.
It's the forms, the education of who's doing it, the criteria that you're interested in finding out. Is that something that can be provided to council? Because we have until, to me, option two looked like the one we would do because it's the once a year, it's the least amount of administrative work. And I like the idea of merit pay. We just want to make sure that it's done fairly across the board. And is there, for what Bill is
articulating? We do have a rating system on there that tells them how to rate within each criteria. It goes from 1 to 5.
I understand that, but you also had an evaluation of 1 to 5 for the town manager. And they were all over the place. And the bottom line was there wasn't people that were trained in the procedure to do it. And that's my point. Yeah, they do their evaluations, but were they trained in it? And, I mean, a high school, all the principals, but we had to go through a specific training before we could do the evaluations, just to assume we know how to do it because, as I told you before, I always used it with, I want this person teaching my kids. That was my evaluation procedure. But we had it they realized, oh, gee, we need to take a class so that everybody's on the same page because if a teacher wants to transfer from one school to another school and they have their performance evaluations, that new principal will know, by God, they did the same the evaluation was done the same way. Well, yeah, the department heads are doing the evaluations, but are they all doing it the same way?
Right.
Are we?
Anna?
Yes, I do, because I know that if on 1 to 5, some people would give a 3 because you're doing your job, and someone will give you a 5 because you're doing your job, but I like the way you're doing the job. So is there some education involved with, or?
At this point, no, but there can be education involved in how to go ahead and do it.
There needs to be. I mean, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Unless it's.
And that's the only thing I'm asking.
What he's asking.
That's why I want to put this one on the back burner until that information comes out, because we actually have until October 1 if we want to implement it in 26-27. So it gives us time to put the procedure in place and then come back and say, yes, is this what we want? No, it's not what we want. That's all I'm asking.
Okay,
if we're going to do it, at least do it right.
I think that's an excellent idea because that is our problem with merit. How do you all feel about that? Yes.
Two things, Mayor. After our budget workshop our MGT workshop, Rachel came up to the dais, and I've shared this with Michael and Kim, and we talked about it, Bill, during that workshop, the merit-based performance reviews. And it was not received very well. I'm for it because I grew up with it. I understand it, and there's the difference. But she said, Councilman, you're correct. This needs to be part of your program. And I wish she was still here because she could verify she said that, but she did because I shared it with Mike and Kim. So part of our conversation on Monday was a concern that you just voiced almost verbatim. And it is train. And then once they're done, it's review by Mike and Kim before it comes back into flirtation. So I asked her at that workshop, I said, do you have any examples from a government aspect that you can share with us? And she said, yes. So, Mayor, I'd suggest that Kim goes back to Rachel and said, you know, hey, Councilmember White said this, and he said you said this, and he did, and she did. So can you send us some examples of what they have where we can sit down as a council? But again, back to our original part.
Unless
this is not what we want to do. It's what you want to do because we're supplying you the money. It's your decision, not ours. We already said that earlier on. It is, we approve the money. You tell us how you want to do it. I know we have our input, Mayor, but I agree with staff on number two.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I like option number two, assuming that we're all comfortable with the manner in which the evaluation, and I know it will be just fine by the time you're done working on it, Kim. So whatever is appropriate, we can carry this, I think. Is it fair to carry this a bit, Mike?
Yeah, we can do that, and I appreciate your support with all that, but we want to make sure you're comfortable as well. So we'll look at that first and then bring back some additional information.
And bring back additional. Is that okay with you, Gary?
I look at it maybe just a little bit different. I like doing all the performance reviews at one time because it's much easier for me to take the same 12-month period and say, this is the best person, that's the second best person, yeah, this is the third best person, and then do the performance reviews. But if I'm doing one this month and mm-hmm. one 4 months later, it's not an equal comparison.
I just watched the merit pay being abused so much. Example, the state of Florida decided to give schools that got A grades the teachers and the staff to decide how they're going to give out the extra money. Yeah. And there were many, many times that schools that were getting C's were actually working harder than the schools that were getting A's because they had to work harder with the kids to be successful. Those teachers got nothing, but yet they were busting their butt where the other teachers, oh, they have these good kids. I mean, I went to a school my last 4 years as a principal, and this school, I mean, the community was unbelievable. They never got an A. And the reason why, they spent so much time with the higher level kids, they were killing the lower level kids. So all I did was make them change this curriculum, and 3 years in a row, they were an A school. And those people got, all we did was change it. And the school that I came from, we used to have bust our butt to be able to get a C and worked a heck of a lot harder and got nothing. And that's why it has to be consistent. That's why one of the reasons I don't like merit pay is because I've seen what's happened in the public sector because of people in Tallahassee making decisions that they don't know anything about concerning merit pay and stipends.
Well, let me, in adding to that, it depends on how the town is going to implement a merit pay for everybody. Are you going to allow a division head say, this is my six employees and this one is the best, he gets a merit raise, or are they going to be compared within the entire employee base in the entire town? And so
exactly,
and how are you going to implicate
that? That's why it needs more work.
Gets really, really sticky.
Oh, yeah. Kim has her work cut out for her. Before I close our conversation, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to address? Yes, Mr. Feese. Thank you.
I actually worked in human resources for a while.
You got my sweet spot here. and this is excellent, and you do have your work cut out. You're doing a great job.
Name and address.
Rick Feese, 46 Ashley Court, that's out there. If you don't pay for performance, what do you get what you pay for? Yeah. That's out there. So correlating performance to pay is not easy. It gets into personal opinion. Yes, there is subjectivity that gets into it. The key, yes, training is good, and I have conducted hundreds of performance appraisal training sessions. But as Skip said, if nobody's watching over them, it doesn't make a difference. It's just like sitting in a classroom. Doesn't mean you've learned anything or you're going to do anything different that's in there. It's all what is really being done. So the key goes back around to what they have as their infrastructure and their oversight and their review process. The one thing that we're talking about, Gary, and you bring about great all of the different comparatives and everything else that's out there, and I'm going to go back to fixed costs. Human nature is going to say, more often than not, we tend to be lenient and rate high as a manager that's out there and think our employees are better than other employees. And the challenge is then making sure that you really correspond the increase with the effort. So that it goes in there, because I have come from a situation where, going back around, if you don't have a fixed budget, forced ranking, some process like that, all of a sudden, guess what? Your costs are out, because everybody gets the highest ratings that are out there. So the key is, yes, there's training, but the oversight and really being able to make sure you're holding people accountable for how that compares that's in there, that's your job. And that's the tough job. And you got to help them do it. So I think it's all a good discussion. But you've got to pay for performance, or you
yes.
don't
yes. Yep.
motivate performance. So
thank
you got to do
you.
The work to do that.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I think that what we need to do is table this till you come back. And you know that our focus is, I believe, is it fair to say our focus is on option two?
Yes.
That makes the most sense. Okay. What do you need from us procedurally at the moment?
I got it.
Good. Excellent.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. And now we are going to move on to, we have nothing on the agenda for 9 and 10, and we are up to resolution and 11A, resolution 2026-04, support for the Volusia County Beach Management Feasibility Assessment and Comprehensive Beach Management Plan. Cliff, would you be kind enough to read it by title only, please?
I would be delighted to hear the sound of my own voice.
Thank you.
Resolution number 2026-04, read by title only, a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Volusia County, Florida, supporting the Volusia County Beach Management Feasibility Assessment, encouraging the Volusia County Council to adopt a comprehensive beach management plan, providing for severability, providing for conflicting resolutions, and providing an effective date.
Thank you so much, Cliff. Mike, I know we are fortunate. We have Jessica Fentress here sitting patiently in the back. Thank you. I'm not sure would you like to present this or?
Yeah, yeah. She is here to answer questions.
Yes.
But yeah, I'll just present this. So
thank
you. Remember
you.
At the February council meeting, she was here to present the beach feasibility study and the risk assessment study that they have been doing for the erosion along different sections of the coastline within Volusia County. She has since asked us, meaning the county has asked us and other cities that are participating in this to provide this support, resolution of support. And you'll notice it's written very generally. It's in general terms. That's because the modeling hasn't been completed with the study. It's not recommending any specific option. It's more of just supporting that there be a study and supporting the efforts of that study, working toward a long-term management plan. And so this is going to help the county when they work with different levels of government at local, state, and federal level to secure funding and do whatever steps they need to do with that.
Thank you, Mike. I do have questions. Jessica, would you be kind enough to come up here? Thank you so much for coming. You've spent so much time on this. And the reason I'm so appreciative that you came to our council meeting today is that I felt that before we could really approve this resolution, I needed to make sure that as the modeling occurs and we go into the design phase and everything, is that we're not going to be limited. It's like once there is a solution, does it just occur and then you tell it to us, or will there be public meetings? Will we have options? Ponce Inlet. So I was just wondering, I believe the council and the residents need clarity on whether the solution is already set, will it be determined during modeling and design, or at a later phase, and how much flexibility exists for the residents before it's finalized.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Mayor Peritsky, for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Jessica Fentress, Coastal Director for Volusia County. Similarly, we have received resolutions from other entities, such as a League of Cities, and what we do with those resolutions of support is we show to our partners at the state and the federal level that the county's not standing alone in this effort. We do have the support of our municipalities. We have done our homework. We've gone out, we've talked, we've educated. We would use this type of resolution going before the state requesting a grant funding to design the solution. At that point, when we go through the design, ultimately the county would need to obtain longer easements than just 5 years. If we're going to invest as a community in potentially a 50-year project, we would want a 50-year easement. So it is of nobody's benefit, the county or the city, to provide a solution that the property owners in the community does not support. Ultimately, we're also going to have to find a funding solution. So I'm going to have to obtain easements from the people who live directly on the ocean. And then we're going to have to find a way to pay for it as well. So if we present a solution, give no impact or no input opportunities, no feedback, it will go nowhere. The resolution of support, eventually this summer, we are going to go to the county council. Don't have a date yet because some of the requests are still coming in from the mainland cities. We will go to the county council, present the homework that we've done to date. We'll present the beach management plan, and we will provide our resolutions of support to our elected body at the council level to show that we've gone out. We have talked to our municipalities. They are partners. They do support this effort.
Excellent. That is what I needed to hear for our residents. And thank you so much. That was it.
And I do have one question, Jessica, and you just brought it up. So, and Mayor, very good point. Very good point. So to make sure I'm clear on it, once you have something developed and we have to go out to the residents and ask for a 50-year easement, will we have something to present to them to say, this is what we're considering doing because it is going to be extremely, extremely difficult even getting a 5-year easement agreement. You guys did a fantastic job. And that easement agreement has now expired. We haven't seen because once the project was finished, based on the verbiage that was in the agreement, once the project was completed, the easement is void. We haven't received any notification as a resident that that easement agreement is void. If you read the material, it is. But I think that'd be a good first step. But my concern is when I'll just say it, beach driving. The first thing that we will hear when we go out is, oh, wait a minute, we're getting ready to give a 50-year easement agreement to Volusia County. What is going to stop them from opening up beach driving from Beach Street all the way up to wherever it starts? That would be a very difficult sell. And you guys, again, did one fantastic job. We heard a lot of chatter, a lot of noise, a lot of people upset, yada, 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 yada. But when the project was finished, everybody comes out and says, wow, look at my beach. It was worth it. It was worth it. I had somebody says, I will never give you another easement because of the noise. Now they're saying, you know, I might reconsider that. But 50 years, it's going to be tough. Yeah, you will. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Was there a question?
No. Well, it was. You answered it. You said you shook your head yes that there would be something that we can present to the residents, saying this is why we need a 50-year easement.
And so the onus will be on me trying to translate storm protection levels versus cost of project versus benefit to the property owners, and then providing assurances on the back end that the easements are specific to the project, which should cover ultimately if the county council would like as a body to take on the beach driving thing. That is their prerogative, and we will follow the policy set by the county council. Mm-hmm. I will follow the policy set by the county council. But any easements that are obtained would be hyper-specific to the project, the mechanism of placement, and the footprint. Now, we will have to have a discussion as a community on what level of storm protection are we willing to fund. Because when you model, just like you do land development, you model a rainfall event to determine how high your stormwater ponds are going to go before you out. Similarly, if you do a sand placement project, you're going to model a storm event, a wave cycle, and a duration against your proposed placement template so that you can figure out how long you can ride through a Category 3 storm that lasts 2 weeks versus, you know, just a quick nor'easter that lasts 2 weeks. So we're going to have a sweet spot not only on what the end product will look like, but also what we're willing to